Hello and welcome to the Power Up and Game podcast. I'm Taylor and I'm going to be your host today. We're on episode number 3 of this newly renamed podcast. And joining me for this episode, we have Riley. Riley, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you, Taylor?
I'm doing fantastic. As for what we're talking about today, when I see what's on the docket for today, Riley, I get a little sad. I'm not going to lie to you. There's one or two stories that I feel like a rant might be coming from me, and I don't particularly like to rant on this show. I like, you know, having these positive vibes. I like having a happy story. But we're going to have a few topics today that's just going to be like, what you doing?
Yeah.
Here's what's on our docket for today. We have Rockstar milking GTA Online for all it's worth, and potentially more, apparently, with a brand new subscription service. We have Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League getting delayed until 2023. We got Fortnite adding a no building mode that might be sticking around. That's actually something I can't wait to talk about. We have CD Projekt Red working on a new Witcher game. Mass Effect developer Casey Hudson is working on his first game with a new studio. And speaking of a new studio working on a new game, Sony has acquired Haven Studios. And that Haven Studios was formed by Jade Raymond of the Assassin's Creed, co-creator of the first Assassin's Creed, I believe. And in our main topic this week, we'll talk about a report from insider Tom Henderson regarding Battlefield 2042's immediate future and the future of the franchise. Riley, you ready to get into our stories?
Let's get into it.
So last week on this show, Michael and Riley talked about the reception of GTA 5's next-gen ports. Basically, and I don't mean to speak for both of you on this, Riley, but I think I can nail what you guys were going for. Basically, you both said that GTA 5 was well past its expiration date.
Yeah, it's been out for like 10 years now, so.
I don't think that's a crazy hot take either. I think a lot of people feel the same way. So yeah. Don't feel bad there. I'm with you too. Well, anyways, Rockstar does not share the opinions of the people on this podcast or anybody who thinks GTA 5 is well past its expiration date, because the studio has just announced a new subscription service for GTA Online called GTA Plus. I really wish I was joking. It sounds like a South Park skit. It sounds like something GTA would make fun of.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
So if you're playing this game via Xbox Series X/S or PS5, you can pay $5.99 a month to get specific rewards. I'm also assuming that this service is exclusively linked to the next-gen ports of the game. GTA Plus will launch on March 29th. Some of the rewards for the next month include 500,000 GTA dollars, the La Mesa Auto Shop, waived Los Santos Car Meet membership fees, the Principe de Veste 8, along with a complimentary Howl's Special Works upgrade for it before it's made available to purchase by the general public, plus the Howl Special Works Orange Trip and the Howl Special Works CMYK Glitch Liveries, and more, including bonuses on certain modes. These bonuses, it seems like they're going to be changing or adding more to it each month, and we'll leave a link to the full membership benefits in the description of this episode. That said, let's talk about this. Riley, we're actually recording this on a Friday instead of our usual Thursday recording time. So think about this. If we recorded this on a Thursday, we wouldn't have had the privilege that we get today to talk about this fantastic news story. So Riley, what's your thoughts on all this?
I don't have many thoughts about this. I think it's a little ridiculous, including the name, you know, that you kind of touched on, that this is something that sounds like GTA would be making fun of in its story mode. I don't know. It's not too surprising, though, I guess. it is a little weird that they're taking that next step and that, you can pay, I think it's like $5.99. Yeah, it's $5.99 a month to get specific rewards and stuff. They started dipping their toes into like, I don't want to say pay to win, but something like that, in the GTA Online kind of sphere. And they made a lot of money off of that. And so, I guess they're making the next logical step. I mean, it does feel gross, but I don't know. It like you were saying earlier, it feels gross, but to me, for what I play, GTA 5 is so irrelevant to me that it's hard to really care too much about it. But I do think it's kind of predatory, in the sense that, it's catering to people like whales, right? So if you don't know this concept, it's like people who play mobile games traditionally, spend lots and lots of money. Certain people, like a small percentage of the population that play those games, spend lots and lots of money, to get specific rewards. And they started doing that with shark cards, and this is it's a little bit different because you only pay a flat fee per month, but I still think it's sort of catering to people that will just pay anything to get, some extra rewards in GTA Online. So I don't know. It's a little weird, a little gross, but what are you gonna do? I guess maybe this is the reason though that GTA Online. Let me see if I correct me if I'm wrong. This is so goddamn confusing. GTA Online for PS5 is free. Yeah. At
Yes.
least right now it is.
I believe for Xbox Series X/S, it is $10 at this time of recording.
That's right. And I can't remember if they're actually, we just talked about this last week and I can't remember right now if they're
Oh no,
going to
I had to
start
write it down,
charging.
Riley. It was the time. And thanks, I think it was Games Radar had the write up for it. Great job. Because it was just me reading this back over, and I know it's just a 3 month deal, and that's all it is. But at the same time, it's just like it's a 10-year-old game. I think okay, here's the thing with me. Okay, because you're somebody who talked about last week. You're not a huge fan of GTA Online. You played it for GTA 5 story. You enjoyed it, but you moved past it, right? I'm somebody who has played the story. I actually really like the story. I think it's very underrated.
I
I don't
liked
think
it too,
people
yeah.
enjoy it as much. And then I play online. I really like online. Here's where I have the issues with online and why every time I hear stuff about, oh, we're adding this, this, and this, it comes back to my same fucking problem. The problem with GTA Online are trolls. It's coming down to that. Because people have these Mark II oppressors that can just fly around, or they have a DeLorean, they can just fly around. Blow you up every time you're trying to do something like important to your business or make some money or do something really cool, plan out a heist, and no matter what, you will get trolled somehow, unless you're in a lobby by yourself, which has led me to get more interested. I haven't been able to do this yet, but I've been more interested in stuff like GTA Online RP. That's like people trying to actually play the game a little more seriously. And it seems more fun because there's not oppressors every 2 seconds trying to blow you the fuck up. So when I see stuff like GTA Plus and the fact that we keep getting next-gen ports and GTA 6 looks so far away, I'm like, oh God, what is GTA 6 gonna look like? Because as much as I love GTA 5, I'm concerned that Rockstar has now shifted its priorities towards this new online way of life. Think about like Rockstar years ago. I saw a comment to like this online after the GTA Plus announcement, and I really agree with it. The where people were talking about like back in the day, Rockstar would put out so many games, and even when they didn't, it wasn't this big of a time span between games. Sure, we've had Red Dead Redemption 2, which to me is a masterpiece of a video game, but other than Red Dead Redemption 2, what have we had from Rockstar?
Nothing.
GTA Online.
Yeah,
And
that's
what,
right.
LA Noire on next gen? And I like L.A. Noir too. But that's what I'm saying. Like, Rockstar, to me, their priorities have gotten, they've changed. And it's making them more money, so I can't say they're ass backwards, because they're succeeding at what they're doing. It's just that I think it is dumb from a consumer standpoint.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't get the awesomeness that is Rockstar's gaming content these days. Now we're getting stuff like GTA Plus. I want to keep calling it GTA Max. I feel like that's a better name, too. If you're going to go with the generic-ass subscription service names, GTA Max would have been far better. But, Riley, you got anything else to add? I feel like I've been rambling a little bit here. I told you I was going to go on a rant.
I don't have much more else to add, except I will say, I think I wanted to expand on why I think it feels more gross than maybe other games. And that's because I know for a fact that lots of children play this game. And I know that it's rated M, so Rockstar is just going to come back and say, we're not targeting this game for kids, it's for adults, right? But I wouldn't be surprised if they have internal data that tells them that, like, a large majority of the people that play GTA, and especially GTA Online, are under the age of 18. And so then you start to get into, you know, when they started to bring out shark cards, and now they're starting to bring up this membership thing, and they're starting to monetize GTA Online more and more, it starts to get into the ethics of kind of like the problem that Fortnite has, which is sort of predatory practices.
With Overwatch.
Exactly.
That was a big thing.
Yep.
I don't remember what's happened of it or if it's still ongoing, because obviously a lot of stuff has happened since Overwatch and loot boxes were a huge topic of conversation.
Yeah.
But it just popped back in my mind here of that was a big freaking deal of, like, how much responsibility do these games have? Is it more on the parents? And I think it's a good conversation to have. I think it's one that we can't really have. I don't think we could do it justice on this show. Because
yeah.
I think it is a mix between, like, the gaming company should do a little better. I think parents should do a lot better as well. And granted, this is also coming from the generation, I can't speak for you, Riley, but for me, I played GTA when I was a kid.
Oh, so did I.
Games I definitely shouldn't have been able to play as a kid.
Yeah, I just to be clear, I have no problem with kids playing rated M games so long as their, you know, parents think, you know, think it's good for them or what, you know, like you said, I played stuff when I was a kid and I turned out fine, right? So I have no problem with the content of the game. It's the predatory monetization practices towards kids that makes me feel, you know, that's kind of what makes me feel queasy.
Which was also a concern when they introduced the casino.
Yep,
and
exactly.
I believe a lot of those concerns were quelled, thankfully. But that was a big thing when they announced that casino. Everybody was like, whoa, hold on a fucking minute.
Yeah.
We can't literally be putting in a casino and have people be able to, you know.
Yeah.
Like, so I think there are limits with the casino stuff. I don't spend too much time in there other than a daily spend, so I can't speak on that. But
yeah.
But let's go ahead and move on to our next topic. And this is one that I don't think you're going to really like, Riley.
No, not too Rocksteady,
much. Rocksteady Games creative director and co-founder Sefton Hill recently took to Twitter and revealed that the studio's upcoming game, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, had been delayed from 2022 to spring 2023. Here's what Hill had to say on Twitter. Quote, "We've made the difficult decision to delay Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League to spring 2023. I know a delay is frustrating, but that time is going into making the best game we can. I look forward to bringing the chaos to Metropolis together. Thanks for your patience," end quote. Although we don't know when exactly Suicide Squad will be hitting shelves, other than the aforementioned spring 2023 release date, we do know that the game will be a next-gen console exclusive, meaning Xbox Series X/S, PS5, and PC. We also have an idea of what the gameplay will be like, courtesy of the gameplay footage Rocksteady shared at the Game Awards 2021. So, Riley, you kind of hinted at it at the beginning of the spiel. What are your thoughts on it? What's your take?
Yeah, it's disappointing, but I've said this on the podcast before with any game that gets delayed. It's just, I think it's better that way, in a sense, because they get more time to work on the game. hopefully delays prevent crunch in the development, although there's some anecdotal evidence to suggest that it only worsens it. But I mean, there's no reports of crunch in this case, but those two things are kind of interlinked in some way. But yeah, it's disappointing though. This game was on, I think, both mine and Michael's top 10 list of 2022, and that's one game. Obviously, we're not going to be playing this year, but I look forward to playing it next year.
I've been a little more split on this game compared to both of you. I don't know. I think Gotham Knights has me more intrigued just because I love the Bat Family.
Sure.
And Red Hood's probably my favorite DC character. So having a chance to play as Red Hood, I'm all in. So I guess that's a reason why I'm not as all in on Suicide Squad. Plus, the fact Suicide Squad's getting a little oversaturated at this point, as much as I love the group. But it still sucks to hear about this. I think Rocksteady is a fantastic gaming studio. I think that this game might end up being pretty damn great. That being said, I kind of had the impression this game wasn't coming out this year. Just based, yeah, we did get gameplay at the Game Awards 2021, but it's been relatively quiet pretty much the whole way. We've gotten a few story trailers, we got that one piece of gameplay, but other than that, what have we really seen? Plus, you have Gotham Knights, as I just mentioned, coming out this year in October. So you don't want to necessarily compete with that, plus whatever other games are coming out this year.
Yeah, I just to go back to like my excitement for the game a little bit. I think you touched on some good points also, that Gotham Knights is coming out this year, and we talked about this for since we knew the original release dates for both games, that it's kind of weird that a Suicide Squad game and Gotham Knights were coming out the same year, right? That kind of seemingly divides the market a bit. But the Game Awards gameplay footage is actually what sold me on this game. Before, I just didn't really care too much about it. I'm not much of a big DC person, but the gameplay at the Game Awards looked awesome. So yeah, it's a big bummer that it's not coming out this year, but I guess it makes sense probably from a development standpoint and also from a business standpoint, like you were saying, to delay it.
No matter what, I do hope that this game ends up being really good because I think Rocksteady deserves a win.
Yeah.
But you know what I think also deserves a win?
What's that, Taylor?
I think Fortnite deserves another win from audiences here. Epic Games has removed the building mechanic from Fortnite's main Battle Royale mode as part of the game's Chapter 3 Season 2 update. This is supposedly set to be a limited time event. But it appears that the no building mode may be sticking around based on some things reported from data miners and how well the mode has been received thus far. It is important to note that the building mechanic is still in competitive and creative modes, so fans of the mechanic can still use it in those modes. Riley, what's your take on this one?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because the building mode was kind of integral to Fortnite for its entire existence, and that may be one of the things that made it the biggest game of all time. I don't think it's controversial to say that, is it?
See, I
But
think nowadays that see, when I said Fortnite deserves a win, in my head I was like, I made somebody listening to this very aggravated. I didn't mean to, but there's this certain stigma that Fortnite has, especially at this point. But you look back at what 2018, I want to say it was 2018, where the game really exploded.
Yeah.
And Battle Royale as a genre really fucking exploded. And we had PUBG, we had Apex just starting out, I think. I don't even think Warzone was even on a radar of happening. I think we were still in the Black Ops 4 eras and all that stuff. So we haven't even reached that yet. But you had this game, Fortnite, that was so damn accessible, so easy to play. But then over time, what I think happened is you had this building mechanic, and it really started to, like, put people off. I do understand why people like the mechanic though, but at the same time, I think from what we've seen so far from the no building mode, it's been relatively well received because it's bringing a lot of casual people back. And hell, I have thought about re-downloading the game. Just being like, oh, what's going on here? Because I know a lot of characters have been added. I know I probably have some V-Bucks because I bought Fortnite when it was Fortnite Save the World back in 2017? And that was a little fun game about building a fort and defending it.
Yep.
Yeah. From, like, zombies or something? I don't know anymore.
Man, I'll never forget. This is a tangent, but I'll never forget. There was a Game Informer article in, like, I want to say 2010, 2011, maybe somewhere around there, that was talking about this game, this new game from Epic Games called Fortnite, and it was about that. The article was about, like, this is going to be a base-building game where you know, there's, like, a day-night cycle, and people are attacking your stuff and everything. I was like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. And then several years later, it became the biggest game of all time.
And the biggest game of all time is nothing of what you read.
No, it's not the same game at all. but I think, to your point, it makes it a little more accessible for people to get in and play Fortnite. Because I've played a few games of Fortnite and, you know, I'm not super good at the building mechanics. And then I face off against people that are building, like, giant structures in no time at all. And it's like, okay, I really suck at this game. So, you know, I think Fortnite is kind of has continuously been chasing the more casual side of things, in a sense. And so, you know, just adding another kind of way to get people in makes sense. I don't have a problem with it, I guess.
I think another thing to keep your eye on about this is Epic Games and Fortnite. They're not going to just add this and then also have it stick around if they didn't think it would be a huge thing for them. This is a money maker.
Yeah.
For Epic. And me saying that felt like it was an understatement. Like, this thing is just, it's a printing machine.
Yeah,
for money at this point. And you have so many crossovers. We've seen Spider-Man crossover, Doctor Strange, Batman, just all sorts of characters, all sorts of different franchises. I think Rick and Morty have even crossed over at a certain point. Like, I mean, this, you have all these things here, and just making it more accessible. What's that next step? And you see Epic Games take that next step. Even for a limited time mode, I feel like it's them just going, like, let's see how people, we've seen comments, people bitching about our building mechanic. Let's see what happens if we take it away for a little bit.
I think
that's very interesting.
I think it's interesting. I do think it's weird that they took it away at first from the main Battle Royale mode. But I think the gist of it is that they're going to be adding it back to that, but you can, there's like other, there will be like a separate Battle Royale mode, according to data miners, right? Like, Epic hasn't confirmed any of this. Yeah, the no building
mode would be its own thing.
Yeah, it'll be its own thing. So, I don't know, just having that choice of, you know, building or no building seems like a good idea, I think.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And speaking of Epic Games, they're also involved in our next story. CD Projekt Red has confirmed that another Witcher game is on the way. Not only that, but the studio has entered a, quote, strategic partnership, end quote, with Epic Games and will be using Unreal Engine 5. We also got a new teaser logo with the caption, "A new saga begins." This has led to a lot of fan theories and other speculation on what this next game will be. Will Geralt be involved? Will Ciri be the new main antagonist? Is this a whole new story? Those are just a few of the questions floating around there right now. Oh, and on top of all the vague caption, the medallion in the teaser logo isn't a wolf medallion we see Geralt wearing in the games. After some rampant speculation, because Witcher lore is absolutely insane, CD Projekt Red confirmed that it is a Lynx medallion. Here's the thing, though. The Lynx medallion doesn't really exist in the official Witcher canon, so take that for what you will. Riley, you've told me before that you've never really played the games, read the books, or watched the series, which is relatively loosely based on the books. What do you make of this announcement and the wild fan theories that have been happening since the game was announced?
The only thing that I can say about this game, because I haven't touched the games or read the books or watched the show at all, I am somewhat surprised that when CD Projekt Red announced that they are working on another Witcher game, the entire collective, like, industry, it seems like, lost their shit and, like, were super excited for this, which, fair enough, but nobody is apprehensive at all after Cyberpunk 2077. I have not seen a single thing that's like, hey, let's slow down, maybe.
Let me use this analogy. Let's say you're going to a concert of whatever artist you really like. You want them to play the greatest hits.
Sure.
Whenever they're playing an album, nobody really gives a damn about or a new album. It's like, well, it's not as good. But whenever that huge song hits, you're there. Like, it's, oh, this is it. This is the best thing ever. That's what I equate this to. Because CD Projekt Red, this is what they're really known for, is this Witcher franchise. And I think that's what's happening a lot online right now. It's like, yes, Cyberpunk, a lot of problems. Wherever you come down on the game, whether it's awesome or whether it was a buggy mess, everybody's forgotten about it right now. That might come back up later, but as of right now, everybody's at that concert hearing about the greatest hit that is The Witcher.
Sure, that makes sense. Yeah, I just think that was my first thought, which is like maybe we should slow down a little bit, and wait till they at least show us some gameplay or something, to be excited about it. I think it's also interesting that they're using Unreal Engine 5 to develop the game instead of their internal engine, which I think they've used for almost every game that they put out. I've seen some speculation, some very little speculation online, that that is probably because they overextended their internal engine to accommodate for all the bugs and stuff that Cyberpunk 2077 had, right? So because of that, they might want to be starting fresh with something, a
That and
completely
there's a
new
lot of
engine.
buzz. There's a lot of buzz about Unreal Engine 5. So
Yeah.
it's not too out of the left field to assume like CD Projekt Red for a next gen game wants to go all in with it.
Yeah. I will say this. I hope that this game, when it comes out, is sort of the redemption of CD Projekt Red. Because, I haven't played any of their games really, but before Cyberpunk 2077, they were almost looked at as like the good guys kind of thing. And that kind of changed with Cyberpunk 2077. So I hope, this new Witcher game kind of puts them, kind of redeems them. I hope this ends with like a good redemption arc in the end, I'm
Oh, I
rooting for them.
definitely agree because when we had our first ever video game developer draft, I selected CD Projekt Red, calling them, oh, all I'm drafting are, I just started cutting a promo on like, just like, oh, all I'm picking are winners. CD Projekt Red, they just don't fucking miss. Of course, months later, they would release Cyberpunk and we saw how that ended up. But yeah, I mean, at that point especially, they were known as, we are grade A developers that will not miss. We're going to put out masterpieces. And that's because of a game like Witcher 3, which I can't recommend enough to you, Riley. I think
I
it's
know.
one of the best games I've played in quite some time.
I've been wanting to get
But.
into it, but Elden Ring,
Oh, yeah. How far are you in Elden Ring, by the way?
I just beat Margit, and I'm going around Stormveil Castle. I'm about 25 hours in. I've been playing some other stuff, but I recently went back to that.
But yeah, with a new Witcher game, I'm very excited what this game's going to be because Riley can't really speak to this, but as somebody who's played Witcher 3, this is going to be a controversial opinion after season 2, but I do like the TV series. I know it goes a little off the rails from the books, but I don't think it's necessarily bad television. I still think it's good. It's not like it goes at the end of Game of Thrones or anything, but
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what this new Witcher game's going to be. after Witcher 3 goes the way it goes in its story, are we going to get Ciri as the main tag or the main protagonist? I was talking with a buddy about it because we were theorizing about what the medallion is. And initially, I thought it was a cat. Thought it was a school of the cat, which I believe, based on what I was researching, was like, it sounded a lot like, wait, are we going to be able to create our own Witcher or something like that? But I don't know what this new one is going to be with the school, the Lynx, or whatever. And it's going to be interesting. I think a co-op Witcher game would be very fun. Just going around slaying monsters with your friends and building your own character kind of deal. But I would not be mad at all if we just continued Ciri story, or CD Projekt Red just went, no, we got a whole new saga, like the caption said. Whole new saga, new characters, let's go. I wouldn't be mad with any of those options. I'm just very excited that they're going back to the well with Witcher, and hopefully we get a great product.
Absolutely.
All right. In case anyone didn't know, and we're moving on to our next story here, former BioWare developer Casey Hudson, who worked on the Mass Effect franchise and Knights of the Old Republic, is heading up a new dev studio called Humanoid Studios. So, why are we talking about Casey Hudson now? Well, we now know that he and his team are working on their first project, courtesy of the official website for the studio. And here's what that project is. Quote, our current project is a multi-platform AAA game focusing on character-driven narrative in an all-new science fiction universe, end quote. Admittedly, there's not much to this news story just yet, but with Hudson's name attached to a new AAA sci-fi universe, we thought it was worth mentioning on this podcast. Riley, as somebody who also, you just thought about The Witcher, I don't mean to put you on the spot two stories in a row. I really don't. It's just bad timing. But you haven't really dived into the Mass Effect franchise.
Still, I haven't.
You do have to look at Casey Hudson's name here and go, oh, this guy working on another sci-fi thing? And people love Mass Effect as much as they do? That sounds really interesting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm always down for, you know, sort of like a narrative choice-driven kind of game, like KOTOR and the Mass Effect series are. So yeah, I'm definitely excited about this. I'm more interested, though, in your thoughts, being the big Mass Effect guy that you are.
Casey Hudson's tenure with BioWare is kind of confusing to me. Okay. And the main thing I take away from it is he was around with the first two Mass Effects. So that alone is like, all right, you know what? Whatever you put out, like, I'll take a look at it.
Sure.
Because those two games are near perfection to me. This new universe that he's creating, this new multi-platform AAA game, it sounds very interesting. It's very vague. I understand, listeners, that we're talking about a game that we don't know a story of. We don't have a character. There's some concept art, kind of, on the official website. I recommend you check it out. But I think you just look at the potential of it, and you're like, oh, Casey Hudson heading this up. And we'll talk about it in our next story, too. But I find it very interesting how a lot of these game developers from other studios like BioWare or Ubisoft or Treyarch, they're going on their own and they're creating their new studio. And we haven't seen their games yet, really. They haven't really released, but they're coming. And when they do, I think they're going to be freaking phenomenal. Because there are some very talented people out there who are going out on their own. They're making their own studio, and they're getting the funding. They're getting all these resources to make their games. And I can't wait to see what this ends up being.
Absolutely. And I have a bit of an interesting thing that I want to ask you, Taylor. And this kind of dovetails into our next story as well.
Do you want to go into the next story first? Or
No. This is still related to this story. If you were a betting person a year from now, do you think this studio is still independent?
No.
Yeah, no, right?
I don't know. Hold on. I think it depends.
Okay.
I don't know. I just get the vibe maybe this studio specifically stays independent, but a lot of these studios we've seen get acquired by somebody else. Like our next story that we're talking about. Here's a piece of news that has kind of fallen under the radar. Sony has acquired Jade Raymond's Haven Studios. Admittedly, this is a layup story once you get the context. Haven Studios was created back in early 2021 and soon partnered up with Sony on their first project. So Sony is just going the extra mile here and acquiring Haven Studios, and it makes just a lot of sense when you look at that. This move also makes a lot of sense when you consider who is heading up Haven Studios, Jade Raymond. Raymond is most likely best known for her work as the co-creator of Assassin's Creed, along with her work on Assassin's Creed 2, Watch Dogs, Splinter Cell Blacklist, and more. In a statement, Raymond talked about the first IP under the Sony banner. Quote, "Our first new IP for PlayStation is on track to deliver a AAA multiplayer experience with a vision to build a systemic and evolving world focused on freedom, thrill, and playfulness that will keep players entertained and engaged for years," end quote. Now, Riley, I'm very glad that you kind of combined both of these stories here, because I find it very intriguing.
Yeah.
This is a great move from Sony, and something I didn't even know was happening. Like, when you brought up this story to me yesterday, when you're like, hey, I want to add this story to the rundown, I was like, who's Haven Studios? And then I look at Jade Raymond's, like, past work, and I'm like, oh, this is a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal.
This is some great credentials right here. Like, why is this not more of a story? And I don't know if it's just me not noticing it as much, because I'm more plugged in these days to the movie TV side of things. But I just think this was a great move from Sony. And when you talk about, like, all these developer or these publishers going in and buying up studios, you look at somewhere like Treyarch's Jason Blundell and, was it Deviation Games, I want to say?
Mm.
From Jason Blundell, who used to work at Treyarch, who I believe Sony acquired them too. Or at least they're working on a game for Sony as part of their first project. And you're really seeing that a lot these days. You're seeing a lot of these developers from big-name studios who have been a part of some of the best games we've played in quite some time, and they're making their own stuff now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, presumably whatever Haven was working on, Sony, got a look at that, because I believe they were funding or providing technical support or something. They were involved with Haven's first game in some capacity, and they were impressed enough with it to buy it up. So, you know, that's you know, a good sign, I'd say. And yeah, this story kind of went under the radar, and I think it's just because of the name, right? When I first saw the news, I was like, wait, who's Haven Studios? And then I saw the name Jade Raymond, and that I remember, just from paying attention to the video game industry, that name sounded familiar, but I didn't know exactly what she was tied to. And then I started looking it up like you did, and I was like, oh shit, this is like a huge deal. Like, you know, could potentially pan out to be on the same level as them buying Bungie, right? I mean, it depends totally on what they're working on.
I'm glad you brought up Bungie, because when Bungie got acquired by Sony, there was something coming out. I don't remember who was reporting it, but it was talking about Sony's really trying to get into multi-platform.
Yeah.
What is it now? Hold on, I'm looking at this. I apologize here for all these interruptions here. For a multiplayer experience with a vision on to build a systemic and evolving world focused on freedom, thrill, and playfulness. It sounds a lot like a live service game, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Sony's really trying to get into this live service market, so that really has me intrigued, too. Because I think a live service game, if done right, is fucking amazing. I don't think there's many things better than live service games, if they're done right.
Yeah. It's so easy to get wrong, but when they get it right, you know, it hits.
But yeah, I think you bringing up Bungie was an excellent point to make, because it shows, it's that piece of evidence that's like, well, damn, I guess Sony is really going into live service, because that's what this game really sounds like to me. And Just with Raymond's past as well with Assassin's Creed with Splinter Cell Blacklist, you kind of also can get a frame of, I don't want to say what the game would look like because people can always do different genres, but I can at least get a frame of quality to expect. So that's awesome as well.
Yeah, I can't wait to see, what this game is, and hopefully it'll be really, really good. I'm expecting it to be good.
We didn't talk about this. It's not in the rundown either, but speaking of PlayStation, I think there's rumors or reports of them revealing their Spartacus, which is their own version of Game Pass next week.
Oh,
Any thoughts on that, real
really?
quick?
No real thoughts except to say that I'm really excited for that, although it's kind of moot at this point because I bought a gaming PC and I have Game Pass, and I don't think, at least for a while, I don't think that the lineup of games is going to be anywhere near what Game Pass has now because it took Game Pass years to build up that library as well. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm excited to hear more about it. I don't know, just because I have Game Pass now, if I'm going to subscribe at all to this Project Spartacus thing, but I guess it all depends. It depends on the pricing, it depends on what games they have on there or they're gonna have on
And
there.
to tie this story into it, Riley, I'm curious to see how much Sony's going to put these live service games they're supposedly working on into whatever Spartacus is, whenever they eventually announce it. If it's next week, if it's a month from now, I'm curious to see, because I think putting a live service on there, it's a little cheeky, and like, oh, we're going to add content as we go, so it keeps you subscribed. But I think it's very smart at the same time.
Yeah, totally. It's a good business move.
But you know what's not a good business move?
What's that?
Everything EA has done with Battlefield 2042. Let's talk about Tom Henderson and the Battlefield franchise. Tom Henderson is a reputable gaming insider who has a pretty damn good track record, especially when it comes to Battlefield 2042. Henderson recently wrote up an exclusive for Xfire, talking about the future of Battlefield 2042 and the franchise in general. And that's what we're going to be diving into today in our main topic. According to the Xfire report from Henderson, a new Battlefield game is in, quote, active development, end quote, at EA, and the publisher is, quote, providing the resources needed to bring back the franchise, end quote. It's said that internally, Battlefield 2042 has been referred to, quote, as a miss, end quote. Along with that, it's said that a lot of changes have been made in Battlefield 2042, and they could be reverted. A lot of those changes could be reverted. Here's the full quote, and we'll be leaving a link to the article in the description of this podcast episode. Quote, although the next Battlefield game is in its pre-production stage, one inside source has said that valuable lessons have been learned following the release of Battlefield 2042. And here's what the source told Henderson, quote, I think we'll be reverting a lot of the changes we made in Battlefield 2042. Like, there's not many other ways to you can interpret that one. Henderson claims that the original plans for the Battlefield franchise involved the next installment being built off of 2042. One former dev told Henderson that the next game was going to be almost like a hero shooter, with specialists becoming more like mercenaries. It's not all doom and gloom for Battlefield 2042, though. Henderson goes on to say that, quote, new modes, weapons, vehicles, maps, and more are set to make its way to the troubled game. It's extremely important to note that we have just scratched the surface of this Xfire report from Henderson, and there are plenty of potential details that we didn't talk about in this write-up, including possible changes to the class system in 2042, to how the game's narrative may change due to current world events, those current events being Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and how Russia and US, that's kind of a part of the main story in Battlefield 2042. Riley, there's a lot of stuff we can talk about here. Do you want to start with 2042 specifically, or the report regarding the future of the franchise?
I think they're both kind of interrelated. I think where I'll start is this story makes me mad. And the reason it makes me mad is that it seems like EA is not at all committed to Battlefield 2042, in that they're not committed to making this game at, they're not committed to delivering on the promise of this game. And it seems like while they're going to be adding content to it, they're just kind of going to be, in a sense, pulling the plug and diverting all their resources to the new Battlefield game to kind of patch over whatever Battlefield 2042 did. To be fair, I played Battlefield 2042, and you know, I think I've referred to it in not positive terms on this podcast. But the gameplay was still fun. There was just like a lot of things surrounding it, like technical difficulties and things like that, that made it not fun. But when it worked, it for me it worked. And now I'm not like a huge Battlefield person, so the changes that they made to like the specialists and stuff are not as pronounced to me, because I haven't played the franchise besides 2042 in years. But a lot of people were upset about that. A lot of people were upset about the 128 mode, 128 player mode, even though
There wasn't a scoreboard.
yeah, that's true. That I forgot about that. I remember like playing the game and like trying to bring up the scoreboard. This is before I knew that there wasn't a scoreboard in the game, and I was like, oh, I must be like pressing the wrong button or something. And then, you know, I found out shortly thereafter that there was no scoreboard in the game. So you don't know how many kills you got. You don't know how well you did. It doesn't matter. So if it doesn't matter, why
Yeah.
play? But
But at the end of the day, what you just said, like, there's no fucking point.
yeah.
Like, there's no motivation to it. Like, I don't know how well I'm doing. I don't know whether I should switch up what I'm doing. Like, you can, if you're playing terribly, of course, or if you're like on a 20 kill streak, you know you're on a 20 kill streak or you haven't gotten a kill the whole fucking game. But if you're somewhere in between that you're like, am I really helping the team?
Yeah.
I don't know because I can't really check. And of course, now they've added a scoreboard. But I think this report is just, it adds on to what my thoughts of the games were, of what Battlefield 2042 were. And that is EA and DICE wanted this to be a different game. That's what it comes across as to me. It comes across based on gameplay. Granted, and here's a big caveat, so feel free to ignore everything I say past this point if you think this invalidates my opinion on it. I've yet to play the game. I have seen loads of gameplay on it, but I have yet to actually play the game. I played the beta and that was it. I didn't really care for it, and that's why I didn't really play the game itself. But it seems, based on what I've played and based on what I've watched, that this wanted to be like Modern Warfare. That this was not really Battlefield. This was more like wanting to be that hero shooter operators kind of game. And more reports coming out like this, like Henderson is saying here, of what the future of the franchise is, it does not surprise me in the slightest.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's really getting a lot of people, especially Battlefield fans, because Battlefield fans, at least from my personal experience, are people who love the team dynamic. They love the squads. They love the tacticalness of the game sometimes. And of course, they love the big freaking moments, the WTF, like, oh, we jumped out of a fucking jet, blew up another jet, and got back in. Yeah, they love those. But Battlefield players also enjoy those smaller moments to where they're capturing this point. It feels like a big deal. And I don't think Battlefield 2042 really has that because of stuff like all the bots in 2042, and
Yeah.
because of the specialist system not being as refined as I think DICE wanted it to be.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, they kind of did botch it in multiple ways with the game. And so, yeah, it's not a surprise that they're, you know, moving on to something else, but it's kind of sad that with all the hype and all the build up for this game that this is kind of what it ended up being, like kind of like a massive flop.
With everything going on with Activision Blizzard, with Call of Duty having another World War II game, there was also people coming out and being like, Call of Duty's dead. Like Battlefield 2042, it looks great. It's gonna blow exci it's gonna blow everything out of the water. And then this game comes out, and I have it as the title of this podcast episode, and it's a valid question, I think, right now. Is Battlefield dead? Like, what can DICE, because we got to look at what the past installments have been. Battlefield 1, pretty well received. I know Michael wasn't a huge fan of it. I really like the game. I think it's a damn good World War I game, which there's not many of them out there. But it's so great of an experience to me. Battlefield 5, not many people enjoyed it. And then we have Battlefield 2042, which is somehow worse. According to a lot of people, so it's a valid question, I think. Do you think this franchise can make a comeback? From Henderson's report, it appears that EA is going to try.
Yeah,
What
I
that
mean,
means, who knows, but they're going to try.
I definitely don't think it's dead. A franchise that's as beloved as Battlefield, I think, in a sense, the only thing that can kill it is the studio itself deciding, you know what, it's not worth it to make these games anymore. I think because the name Battlefield has such a cachet with its players, and it's been losing that cachet over the years, but I think no matter how many misses there are, if they come out with a game that people, that kind of harkens back to the heyday of the franchise, which I would consider to be Battlefield 3. And if they start doing things that and start listening to fans and like really hardcore fans and what they want, absolutely they can make a comeback 100%.
I agree with you. I think this is a franchise that's so popular it can make a comeback. Now, here's a caveat, though. I do wonder if EA bought Activision Blizzard and they had the rights to Call of Duty, would Battlefield be dead? I think that's an interesting question to ask as well. It's
That
a
is.
what if, of course, but it's interesting because it feels like Call of Duty as a franchise right now, in terms of sales reception, it's kind of on an upswing. It's a cautious upswing, but you have Modern Warfare 2 on the way and everything. Whereas Battlefield has been on a steady decline for the past two installments.
That is interesting. In this hypothetical scenario, I still think Battlefield isn't dead because they catered, in my mind, to two different players, two different types of players. It seems like there's Battlefield players and Call of Duty players, to me, and the people, like, it's just different, right? Like, Call of
Well,
Duty
it's what
isn't.
I mentioned with Battlefield 2042, is it feels like it's trying to be Modern Warfare a lot of the times, and it's a weird shift in what you expect.
I think in some ways it is trying to be Modern Warfare 2 or Modern Warfare as well. But in other ways it isn't. I think in some ways it carries forth the original, like the sort of draw to Battlefield, which were like these huge battles with tanks and helicopters and all this stuff. They just didn't really execute it very well. So, I mean, those things exist in Modern Warfare as well, but to me, it just feels different. Battlefield has a different feeling to it to me. And I think that's enough to differentiate it. But then again, like, I could be completely wrong because I'm not super in the weeds about Battlefield or, Call of Duty. So maybe they're more alike than what I'm thinking, but to me, they seem quite different. Even though Battlefield, I would agree, is trying to do things to make itself comparable to Call of Duty and things like that.
No, I think you're completely right. I think while I would be concerned if EA had bought Activision Blizzard, like what would the future of Battlefield be? Gameplay wise, in the way that the fans are, they're just two completely different beasts, in my opinion. I think at the end of the day, is Battlefield dead? It really is going to depend on this next game, whatever it ends up being, whatever DICE puts into it or EA puts into it. I don't know what that future holds, but it's got to be a home run hit
Yeah,
after every,
absolutely.
and plus, not only that, for everything that was said about 2042, it's calling it. I think Henderson talks about it at the beginning of his article here. Yeah, saying it was a love letter to fans. It was well ahead of schedule, and have faith, fam. Like all these things were said about the game, and for it to turn out the way it did, I think that's why so many people, and why we're talking about it like months later, why we're just like, this sucks. It's unfortunate because it was supposed to be a success story. We were supposed to be playing Battlefield 2042 right now, having a fun fucking time with the game. But instead, it's can the franchise survive past this point? And before we wrap up, I have one last question. Do you think this game can be revived through these content updates? Kind of pulling a No Man's Sky, kind of pulling that Sea of Thieves. But do you think it could do that once it hits a EA Play slash Game Pass or whatever Spartacus has working on? Do you think that needs to be the future for the game? For it to have a future.
Yeah, so let me clarify the question. Are you asking if EA can salvage the game through updates or if they can salvage the game through putting it
Both.
on?
I'm saying over the next few months, EA has these updates, these content updates, they're fixing stuff. But at the same time, you look at the player accounts, you look at these reports, and people are playing Battlefield 4 more than 2042. People are playing all these other games. Do you think the solution then would be to put it on a Game Pass or a Spartacus? Because I
Yeah.
think that has to be the way to go if you want to salvage this game in any way. Because I think even if you make the quality content updates, people still got to play it, you know, to
Yeah.
notice that there's content updates.
I would agree that those two things probably have to happen in tandem, as well as sort of a marketing push to say, hey, come back and play Battlefield 2042. It's better now, we promise. But the thing is, I don't think they're going to do that after reading this story. I don't think they really care about, like, I don't think they're going to push, they're going to pull like a No Man's Sky or like a completely 180 salvage operation on this thing. So while they could, yeah, I mean, any game could be saved. I mean, you look at like I was saying, No Man's Sky or Final Fantasy 14, those games, complete 180, and now they're beloved, right? But so it can always happen. It's just a matter of will it happen and will the company put in the resources and do what needs to be done to salvage it? And I don't think EA is going to do that.
And to be fair here, it's not, it's mentioned in this article that Battlefield 2042 is not, it's not been abandoned yet.
No, that's
There's still a
true.
team working on it. There's still a lot of content coming out for the game, both reportedly and stuff that's already been announced by EA. So it's not like this game's completely dead. I think what you're trying to say is the game could not be really totally salvaged, like I'm trying to point out, because they kind of have one foot in, one foot out. Like
Yeah,
they're still making
exactly.
content, they're doing everything they need to do, but are they doing everything they need to do for this one game, or to save face and be like, look, we tried to fix 2042, but here's the next game, and it's everything you love.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very solid point to make as well. And I hope this franchise survives. I really do. I love Battlefield.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here.
All right, so we're going to be doing what we're playing, but we're going to be doing it a little differently. Since we're posting these episodes on Mondays, let's talk about what we've been playing this past weekend, and then we'll talk about what we're playing this weekend.
Sure.
What have you been playing this past weekend here, Riley?
Yeah, so this past weekend and really all through this past week, I've been playing a couple different games. I've been playing, like I mentioned earlier, I went back to Elden Ring, beat Margit, going through Stormveil Castle now, just enjoying Elden Ring. Again, I kind of took a break from it, but I went back to it. I've also been playing Tunic, which is a game that it's like an indie game. It's developed by one person. They put it on Xbox Game Pass, and it's gorgeous. It's a Zelda-like where you play as a fox, and it also has some like Souls mechanics to it. Very little, but it's definitely not as hard as a Souls game. But I'm really enjoying Tunic, to the point where I'm like, huh, is Tunic my game of the year? Which I know is ridiculous, right? Because Elden Ring is so good, but Tunic just hits a specific craving for me. And when I'm in the mood to play that game or like play something like Zelda, specifically, it really reminds me of A Link to the Past. It's great. It's gorgeous. It's feel good. I'm really enjoying it. And then the other game that I've been playing is Wasteland 3. I've been trying out a bunch of different things on Game Pass, and I've been really enjoying Wasteland 3. And this is a game that came out in the at the end of 2020, somewhere around there. And I feel like it kind of went under the radar, but it is so good and so funny, right? It harkens back to, older CRPGs, and there's such a heavy emphasis on both comedy and role playing. I wrote about it in our Discord channel, so if you want to see everything that I've been enjoying about the game, you can see it there. But one thing I'll say is my favorite part of the game so far is there's this mechanic. There's a armor slash penetration mechanic, so one person will have a specific armor stat and the other person will have a specific penetration stat, and depending on that, that determines how much damage the enemy takes versus how much damage you take. And at a part in the game, you find a hat where two dildos are protruding from the hat. And I thought, okay, that's funny, right? And then I went into my inventory, and the hat, I looked at the hat, and it gives +2 to your penetration stat. And I laughed at that for a solid minute. Like, that is such a good joke in video game form. And there's other things in the game that are just hilarious. They have shrink grenades, so you can throw them at enemies and turn them into, like, tiny enemies. I also just found confetti grenades, which don't do any damage, but they blow up and have confetti. And it's just like fun stuff like that in the game that's so ridiculous and stupid, but so enjoyable. It really sets the game up, it, like sets the game apart. So I've been playing that a lot as well.
So, while you were talking about this, I'm like, you're giving a pretty detailed analysis on what your thoughts on this game. And then you start talking about the deal, and I was like, this took a turn. It just definitely took that turn and continued on it. And it was a journey, Riley. It was a journey. What you've been playing this past weekend, I will say that. It sounds very hilarious, especially the confetti grenades.
It's one of the
That got me
funniest
too.
games I've ever played.
But what are you playing this weekend?
This weekend I'll probably play some more Elden Ring, and probably more Wasteland 3 and Tunic, but I might take a break, and I've been kind of thinking about, now that I have Game Pass, I've actually been thinking about getting into the Halo franchise, which I've never really played much of. I think I played like very little bit of Halo 1, very little bit of Halo 2, but never, got like the full story. And I watched a video, actually on YouTube from a guy named Matt Colville, who is like a huge D&D person. He's been a game designer for years, both in tabletop and video games. And he did a video about, the story of Halo and how they marketed it at the beginning and all this other stuff. And that just was like made me really interested in going and checking out those games now that I have Game Pass and have a computer that can definitely run Halo 1 and Halo 2.
You should definitely do that. But as for what I've been playing this past weekend, I played a little bit of Among Us. That game is on Game Pass. I never really played it during the whole Among Us craze. So I played a little bit of that. It's really fun. But also, I got back into The Division 2. Wow. A lot of numbers. That's all I'm gonna say. Like, oh my God, there's so many numbers just thrown at you. And going back into this game, you're just like, what's my build? What am I doing? Oh God, what is this? I'm getting shot at already. It took a lot longer than I thought it would to get back into it. But I'm back into it. I'm having a lot of fun with the game. I'm making a tank build on it. I have the Warlords of New York expansion. I really want to get back into that and see what that's all about. I know you're going back, obviously, to New York, which I love that setting in Division 1. So, and that's probably what I'm going to be playing this weekend, whenever I have some free time, playing some Warlords of New York.
Very nice.
Riley, what you working on? Where can people find you?
I'm not working on much, just working on the show. You can find me on Twitter at Logue, Logue underscore Riley, Riley. And you can also find me in our Discord server.
You can find me occasionally on this podcast. You can also find me over on Nerds Talk Movies. I want to plug our Discord really quick, which is the best way to get in contact with us for now, as we're trying to get our branding done for our social media accounts. So just join our Discord. The link for that is in the description of this podcast. Please consider dropping us a rating. It would help us out tremendously. It would also be fantastic if it was a positive rating. Check out our last episode of Nerds Talk Movies, where Drew and I took a trip back to 1976 and talked about the first Rocky movie. It's crazy that this one movie from decades ago has spawned not just one, but two highly popular franchises.
Yep.
Finally, check out thenerdstash.com, where you can find all sorts of news in the world of gaming, movies, television, and so much more. You can also find some awesome reviews, some opinion pieces, lists, guides. No matter what you're looking for, you can find it over on thenerdstash.com. I want to thank Riley for joining me. I want to thank anyone for listening in. Michael will be back next week, and Riley will be back on the show next week, too. I will be off doing stuff for the podcasts. But I'm sure Riley and Michael will have some great content as they go over some of the most trendy gaming news. But until then, stay safe and take care.